Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to 50,000 Watt AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian radio station in America. We've had some fascinating shows lately, don't you think? If you've missed any of these, you could listen to them online at our website, kgov.com. People have told me that the show with Michael Reagan, the Bob Enyart Live interview with Michael Reagan about his being molested by a homosexual as a young child, that was an extraordinary show. And then his father, Ronald Reagan's faith in Jesus Christ, helped Michael Reagan become a Christian and overcome the devastation of his early life. That was such a neat program. And then there was the great discussion with Fox News Channel's Judge Napolitano. And if you've missed that, go to KGov to hear our discussion about the source of law. That law comes from God. But then we disagreed on important particulars. For example, he said the old cliche that it's better to wrongly acquit 1,000 than to falsely convict one innocent man. And in response, I quoted God from the Bible. It's like trumping someone. I say, well, my opinion is blah, blah, blah. Well, God said, I quoted God from the Bible saying that both alike are abominations to God. Convicting the innocent and acquitting the guilty are equally destructive. And also, he makes the terrible mistake, the judge does, that if the police wrongly seize evidence, let's say they get a video from the trunk of a car showing a man raping and murdering women, the judge thinks that the criminal would have to be let go if that was the only evidence against him, if it was seized unlawfully. And I point out that two wrongs don't make a right, and you should never intentionally allow a miscarriage of justice. For as Jesus said, man was not made for the law, but the law was made for man. So you don't sacrifice women victims to criminals on the altar of, well, it's the rules, and since we didn't keep the rules, we have to let them go. That's corrupt. And then did you hear the rather extraordinary recording that Brian Rohrbaugh played for us? I've heard about this show from a number of people, including one of the engineers down at KLTT. Down at the studio, Brian Rohrbaugh brought in this audio recording that he made when he and his wife Lisa went to a pro-life protest outside Columbine High School. And a woman staffer from the school came out, and Brian caught the debate on a recording. And if you didn't hear that, you owe it to yourself to hear how people whose lives were so violated by Harrison Klebold have become such important participants in the fight between good and evil, right and wrong, including the abortion battle. What a dramatic show that was. And that's just a few programs of the last week, not to mention our tribute to Johnny Carson, asking how do you get from Ed Sullivan to Howard Stern? And the answer, 30 years of Johnny Carson. That's how. So please, if you hear a good show, spread the word by telling others to tune in or that they can listen at KGOV.com. All right, now, what's coming up? In a few weeks, we'll have a debate with Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz on the source of rights. Where do our rights come from, God or the government? So that's up ahead. And then tomorrow, oh, this is going to be big. Well, not really. Tomorrow, we're beginning our annual February telethon. Each February, we make a concerted effort to keep Bob Enyart Live on the air. Now, we're on the internet, but we want to stay on the radio because that really gives the momentum to the show. broadcasting over AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian radio station in America, our goal is to improve the financial stability of the actual broadcast of the show so that it won't be likely that we'll be maybe going off the air in 6 months. And so our goal is to raise $10,000 and increase our monthly pledges by $500. That's the goal. So for February 2005, you can be a part of helping us meet that goal by giving a one-time gift toward the $10,000, or by making a monthly pledge, or by signing up for a subscription to our monthly mailings of Bible studies, sermons, and Best of Bob shows to yourself or to someone else. Okay, now to today's topic. I'd like to discuss the election in Iraq and how that might affect the war on terror, and then mention again the European nations that have opposed us and give an example of the moral depravity of Europe. And today's example we'll get to is Germany and a consequence of their legalizing prostitution back in 2002. And now, by the law of unintended consequences, you know what they're doing in Germany? If a woman is on unemployment, they're telling her that she has to accept any available jobs or lose her Social Security benefits. And so women are being sent to call or to go for interviews to porn shops and brothels. And that's just beginning. So we've got that story for you from the London Daily Telegraph. So that's what we'll be talking about. If you'd like to call in on any of these past shows or today's show, or to make an early pledge for the telethon, then call 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. All right, so the elections in Iraq were a wild success as far as elections go. And in a minute, let's talk about democracy versus what's really important, which is freedom and liberty. Because democracies have destroyed their own countries and their neighbors, and we'll talk about that. But as far as elections go, this was a wild success, and it was really an election between the insurgency, between the terrorists, and those who want liberty. That's really what the election was about. And so it was overwhelming. An overwhelming vote and an act of courage against the terrorist. Now, we know that terrorists are despicable, coward murderers. We know that, right? And they're not just freedom fighters, because if they were freedom fighters, they wouldn't be killing hundreds and hundreds of their own people. So freedom fighters don't do that. They fight the oppressors. These thugs are terrorists. They're murderers. And even though we don't really need any help in identifying them as the scum of the earth, here's a little bit of help from Matt Drudge, who's reporting that a disabled child was used in a suicide attack in Iraq on Election Day. And so here's the story, again, out of London. Terrorist used a disabled child as a suicide bomber. You know, Palestinian terrorists, they've been using kids and women. They encourage it. They encourage kids to be suicide bombers. And the UN consistently supports the Palestinian side of that battle. And the UN has a convention on the rights of the child that says you can never intentionally put children on a battlefield in a war zone. And yet the UN is silent when it comes to Islamic terrorists using kids as bombs. That's how despicable and morally depraved the United Nations is. So at any rate, here in Iraq, terrorists use a disabled child as a suicide bomber on Election Day, according to the Iraqi Interior Minister, Falah al-Nikib. Falah al-Nikib. How's the nuance there on the pronunciation? Doesn't matter? All right. In all, who would know if I got it wrong? In all, 44 people were killed. Now, that's how they present it, but 9 being suicide bombers. And so I actually don't like the way they present that. I don't like to include the murderer in the number of the victims. And so, but this one young kid who had Down syndrome, apparently we could count him. So that would be 36 murdered. 36 murdered in a total of 38 bomb attacks, including IEDs. What are they? Improvised explosive devices, like roadside bombs. So 36 people were murdered in bomb attacks on polling stations, and police at the scene of one blast in Baghdad said the bomber appeared to have Down syndrome. So the interior minister, he condemned the terrorist for using a child in this case, not to mention all the children that they've killed. And also he praised an Iraqi citizen who was killed while he was confronting and stopping one suicide bomber from reaching a crowd of people outside of a polling station. And that is a hero. That's a hero. And heroes often die. And liberty comes at the price of blood. It doesn't come from the pen of a journalist. It comes from the blood of the soldier. And it comes from the bullets in his gun. That's where freedom comes from. Well, this whole notion that the world now is... I really feel miserable about this because I'm on the wrong side of this debate. But the world is just going gaga over democracy. It's like they drool when they say the word. It's like on Fox News Channel, sacred music starts to come in the background when they talk about the right of people to vote and one person, one vote. And you feel like you're in a cathedral and you have to genuflect every time they say the word democracy. Well, democracy is not the real issue. It's freedom and liberty. And if I hear it again, I think I'll go stir crazy that democracies don't attack each other. Well, I guess that's true if you ignore the single worst war of the last century, if you ignore the most wicked democratically elected leader that the world has known. Who's that? Adolf Hitler. He got the Clinton vote. I mean, he got the same percentage of the vote that Bill Clinton got when he was first elected. And so he was democratically elected to be Chancellor of Germany. And once in office, true, he consolidated his power, but that was a democratic election. In Germany, they had a Weimar Republic that was not democratic, and Hitler, under that constitution, would have had a very difficult time coming to power, but he arose to power democratically. So democracies don't attack each other. Well, if you ignore the worst war of the last century, then I guess it's easier for you to make that point. And didn't Liberia, of all places, didn't they, a few years back, vote in the jihadist slate of candidates nationwide? I think that was Liberia. Who pays attention to Liberia? I don't. But you could have people vote in, obviously, Islamic extremists to run the country. And it won't happen like that in Iraq, at least not in the short term, because the Islamic extremists, not only are they wicked, they're stupid. And they have made enemies of everyone, everyone. So they attack, they murder journalists, they murder the United Nations. They're attacking countries in in Europe that practically support them. They're attacking everyone simultaneously. It's the same insanity defense that Hitler used. He was insane, and so he attacked everyone, and it hastened his defeat. So in Iraq, I don't have a fear that the jihadists are going to win these elections, not in the near term. And at Denver Bible Church last night during, after the Sunday night Bible study, we're in the book of Acts. It was fun. We were in Stephen's sermon that he gave, and it goes back to world history. In the first city in the world, Ur of the Chaldees, that's in Iraq. And Abraham was called out of Mesopotamia, that's Iraq. It's so fascinating just to be able to put current events in context of world history. It's really interesting. And we were talking about the war on terror, and is it winnable, and what if the public doesn't really have the stomach for justice? And that's often true, they don't. But I pointed out that, hey, the terrorist attacked America, and while it was tragic, the devastation was limited to killing 3,000 people. Now, that's big, but that's the extent of it. They killed 3,000 innocent people, and what did they lose? They've now lost the governments of four countries. They lost the government in Afghanistan that was giving them aid and comfort and harboring them. They lost the government in Pakistan that was at least looking the other way while Pakistan was selling nuclear secrets to criminal regimes around the world. They lost that. They lost Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, who's now turned over his weapons of mass destruction program and said he's very sorry and he's thinking about becoming an altar boy now, and even told the terrorists in Iraq they should release the American that they've kidnapped. So they've lost that government, and they lost the government in Iraq, which even the majority of the Iraqis by the millions defied the jihadists and the terrorist murderers. And even though they were threatened with beheading and having their families killed, having their throats slit, being bombed, they went to the polls by the millions. By the millions. And somebody got the bright idea of identifying them with permanent indelible ink on their finger, which I thought it was a little weird, you know? So now the terrorists have a few days to figure out who they want to kill. And probably some people with inked fingers will be killed, but that will further dig the hole of the terrorists. And it's also fascinating to see the extraordinary discouragement among the Democrats, the liberals, the media. They're just so discouraged that Iraqis were exhilarated with their newfound liberty. That just bums out the liberals. They can't stand it. You thought progressives supported liberty and opposed tyranny? No. Not if it's somebody who claims to be a Christian is the one who's liberating people. They rather have them enslaved. You think the liberals were mourning the fact that tens of millions of people were enslaved by the Soviet Union, by Red China, by Cuba and North Korea? They don't lament that. That's not a very big problem to them. The big problem to them is the Boy Scouts, because the Boy Scouts don't support sodomites. That's big. But the Soviet Union murdering 20 million of its own people, that's not cause for alarm. And if any conservative Christians are against the Soviet Union, let's say like the John Birch Society, the John Birchers, they're neat people, a little too much maybe into conspiracies since this stuff is all in the open these days. But the John Birch Society, they fought to expose the wickedness of the Soviet Union for decades. And you know who the liberals hated? They didn't hate the communist. They hated the anti-communist. Isn't that funny? They hated the anti-communist because they were anti-communist, and the communists themselves were murdering people by the tens of millions. They didn't hate them. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Brighton, Colorado. John, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob.
What's up, sir?
How are you doing, sir? Good to hear you.
I'm fine.
I was just wondering, in the elections in Iraq, who exactly won? I've been trying to find out who the name of the man who won was and what his information is like.
Well, I think indications I heard is that Alawi's party, his list, is the big winner. And then the other winners, I actually haven't paid attention. But the parties that were in the lead in the polls running up to the election, for the most part, were parties that had the support of the Shiites, the religious Shiites, although those parties had a good number of secular candidates in them. So it would most likely end up being, I would think, that Iraq's government will end up looking a lot like Turkey's. Turkey, which is Islamic, it's a Muslim government that is primarily secular. That's my guess.
So is that pretty much what the United States wants?
Nations? That's what America wants. The United Nations, they say they don't care as long as they promote abortion and sodomy. They don't care what else they do.
Oh, great.
All right, John. Hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate that. You know, the UN, they're as anti-Christian as you can get and anti-American. And I was glad to see Alexander Haig on Hannity and Combs last night, saying he was asked, isn't John Kerry right, by Alan Combs, isn't John Kerry right that we should have gone to the UN more? And Alexander Haig said, what a joke. 6 months of time wasted at the UN enabled Saddam to build a foundation for this guerrilla warfare. That was all a nightmare. We should have never went to them. They have no moral clarity. The UN is on the wrong side of justice. And, you know, the French, the Germans, the Russians, they're being paid off by Saddam. They're taking money out of the mouths of Iraqi women and children to the tune of tens of billion. What? How much is the oil for food scandal? Over $10 billion. Is it $12 billion that has gone, instead of money going to feed Iraqi children, which the UN has said there's terrible malnutrition among the young in Iraq, and that's probably true. They literally took money out of the mouths of babes to stuff it in their pockets. The French, the Germans, the Chinese, the Russians. And if any American businesses did the same, the difference would be this, that would be criminal, and our government would aggressively prosecute a business who was part of the oil for food scandal, whereas the French, it probably went as high as Jacques Chirac, who's accusing us of going into Iraq to get oil, which they're still saying that when oil prices went up, not down. And how much have we spent now? A couple $100 billion? Gee, when are we going to get that back? How many free tanks of gas is it going to take to get back a couple $100 billion? So ignorant of liberals, even in this country, to say we went to Iraq for oil. Is oil a factor? Yeah, oil's a factor. The world, the standard of living of the whole world requires oil. And so, of course, you want stability in oil-producing regions. But whenever a government is systematically raping women and filling mass graves, then there is a moral mandate to go in and destroy that government. So if we had a French guy call into the show and complain, you had no right to go into Baghdad, I'd say, hey, look, you tell Jacques that if he starts raping women and filling mass graves, we're going to invade Paris. So the principle is just as good everywhere. The principle is just as good everywhere. When a government begins to kill its own people, fill mass graves, and the kind of cruelties that Saddam and his sons perpetrated on the Iraqi people, then any other nation in the world has the right, they are justified, to go in and to destroy that country. All right, so here's what's going on in Germany, one of the countries that judged us as wrong. Here is the headline from the London Telegraph. If you don't take a job as a prostitute, we can stop your benefits. This 25-year-old waitress was told when she turned down a job providing sexual services at a brothel in Berlin, she was told that she faces cuts to her unemployment benefit under laws introduced this year. Now, prostitution was legalized in Germany in 2002. And they have this system of social security where people get nice benefits if they're unemployed, and the government makes sure that there are jobs for them to take, and all that is great. And now their unemployment is up to, it's going on 5 million people out of work in Germany, which is a crisis there. And they say, well, you get unemployment, but we will tell you if there are any openings, and if you don't take them, we could cut your benefits. And they, since they legalized prostitution and pornography, now it's turning out that people who own those businesses can use the government's employee search database to request workers. And so women are being told that they have to take phone sex jobs and go apply in person for jobs where they have to pose naked. These are all stories in this article about women who are just shocked. And they're thinking that they want to sue these government employees, and they're finding out that the employees are obeying the government. They're doing what the German government has mandated, legalized. So Europe is gone. Europe is post-Christian. Moral clarity? Forget it. You know, sexuality is different than other kinds of human behavior. And regardless of how the people who hate God, the people who ignore God, want to make believe that sex is no different from anything else, it is. God made it special, and he made it just for within marriage. And, hey, the Libertarian Party, watch out for them, because if they win, this stuff is coming here, just a slightly different form. Hey, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a beautiful school through 12th grade. Their phone number, 431-5653. A neat place. Check out Maranatha.